Well, good morning. Welcome to Clay Fellowship Church this morning. Little rainy and dreary outside, but nevertheless, it's still a good day to be in the house of the Lord, to be gathered together to worship Him. From Psalm 92, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning and your faithfulness in the evening. You thrill me, Lord, with all you have done for me. I sing for joy because of what you have done. You, O Lord, will be exalted forever." We sing glory to your name this morning in this place as we gather together to praise him. Please join me in singing for joy and for what all he has done for us in this place, for us individually, for his people, his children. We're going to sing glory to his name. It's hymn number 242, and we're going to sing all verses. The words will be on the screen. You are welcome to stand with me. You're welcome to remain seated. We're going to sing glory to his name. To the Lord, and it is good to be here together giving thanks to the Lord with each other. You may be seated. Brother Fred, would you open us in prayer this morning?
Yes. Father God, it is a pleasure to be here. It's a joy to be here to worship you, to lift up your name, Lord, and glorify the name of Jesus in your presence today. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will come our way this morning, that he'll sit with us and stir our hearts, Lord, today as we sing and as we pray and as we meditate on your word today. Lord, we just thank you for all of your many, many blessings today. Lord, so many we just can't count them. Your protection, Lord, the way you care for us. Lord, we just thank you. Lord, now we ask, Lord, that you would accept our worship, Lord, because everything we do, we want it to glorify your Son, Jesus, who is our Savior and our Lord today. And it's in his name we ask all of this today. in the precious, the holy name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Romans 10, verses 9 and 13. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, this morning, let's call on the name above all names, on the name of the Lord Jesus. We're going to sing Jesus' Name Above All Names. It's hymn number 120 in the hymnal. Words will be on the screen. We're going to sing it twice or maybe more, depending on if the Spirit leads. You're welcome to stand. You're welcome to remain seated. But let's just call on His name and raise His name above all names as we worship Him this morning. Lift your name on high this morning.
God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word.
Amen. You may be seated. Well, announcements this morning. We have our breakfast group that meets on Tuesday mornings at 9:30 a.m. at the Jacks in Trustful on Deerfoot Parkway and Highway 11. Wednesday night Bible study, back to our normal Wednesday night Bible study schedule at 6:30 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. Sunday school at 10 a.m. and worship service at 11 here on Sundays in the Worship Center. Coming up Friday, March 21st, will be our next game night, and that'll be at 6:30 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. Coming up the end of this month, Sunday, March 30th, will be our fifth Sunday potluck. So I always look forward to that and time together to fellowship. We are collecting household items for the Three Hots in a Cot. It's down here in Chalkville that houses veterans. There's a list on the back table of items that they typically need. The collection box is in the back, and as that box fills up, we'll take a load over there. Also in the back is the collection items for the food pantry. There's also a list of the items that we normally provide for our food pantry recipients. They're on the back information table. Upper rooms are on the back information table for March and April. If you use those for daily devotion, you're welcome to pick one up and take with you. I do have a card to read that we've received. The kindness of others is a genuine reflection of the kindness of God. Thank you so much for the food and well wishes. We are truly blessed to be a part of this church family, Charles and Teresa. They have been able to be here with us the past couple of weeks, so Charles is doing better, but just continue to lift him up in prayer as he's continuing the healing process. This past Wednesday night was Ash Wednesday, and we had an Ash Wednesday service. Brother Fred gave us the opportunity to fill in a commitment card for not what you're going to give up for Lent, but giving of your time to spend with God for Lent, praying for anointment, praying just for his people, praying for your life, but also spending time in word. So if you weren't able to be here Wednesday night, Brother Fred is offering everyone an opportunity. If you would like a commitment card, just raise your hand and Cindy will bring it to you. Also, something we did, which was different for me, and I really enjoyed it, rather than imposing the ashes, we had an anointment service. And Brother Fred anointed us with oil, and so he wants to offer that for anyone who would like to do that this morning. If you weren't here Wednesday night and would like to do that, he will have a time at the end of the service for you to bring your commitment card and for the anointing with oil, if that's what you would desire. Our announcements go out on Fridays in an email. That email also contains our prayer list. If you have anything you would like added or changed on the prayer list, just let Cindy know and she'll get that taken care of. You can email clayfellowshipchurch@gmail.com or call the office and leave a message, or just tell Cindy, or write it down and give it to her is probably better. Oh, Cindy says text works good too. Well, as I have come to really enjoy and like is having a time of prayer here together, as we thank him for what he does for us, and as we lift up those that are on our hearts and on our prayer list, it's good for us together as a church to spend the time together in prayer and praising his name. So if you would, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and I will close us out. Lord, we give you thanks this morning for the provision and the blessings that you have given to us. We give praise to you, the name above all names. We call on your name, Lord Jesus, as we bring before you our friends, our family, and all these on our prayer list. We commit these requests to you, and we trust in your help. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our redeemer. In you, all things are possible. Lord, we offer these tithes and these offerings to you with grateful hearts. May you take them and use them to further your kingdom. We pray this in the holy, precious name of Jesus, the name above all names. Amen. Psalm 37, 3 through 5. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. In other words, let him have his way with you. And that's what we're going to sing next, because his way is best. We're going to sing His Way With Thee. It's hymn number 335. We're going to sing verse 1 in the chorus, and then repeat the chorus, and the words will be on the screen. You're welcome to remain seated. You're welcome to stand. But let's just give ourselves over to him and let him have his way with us in this place this morning.
Would you live for Jesus? Your heart and make you
trying without the cane this morning. Y'all pray for me. It's good to see everybody today. Wonderful to have you. Isn't it a great day to be in the Lord? I'm telling you, just hearts overflowing. Great songs this morning, great spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here today and be a part of this family. As a physician, it's one thing to understand the symptoms that you see, but it's a total other thing to get the diagnosis right. And the key to the effectiveness, or what we call efficacy in the medical area, of the that prescription or that treatment plan is the accuracy of the diagnosis. In the Sermon on the Mount, I see Jesus functioning and teaching like a doctor. He identifies the symptoms. He's working on the differential, that's what we always called it, to get the diagnosis, and proposing the prescription and the treatment plan, right? You see that yourself too? You see, the symptoms, they were obvious. Everybody saw them. The brokenness of humanity, murder, infidelity, adultery, broken marriages, broken promises. And that there's so many more. These are just a few that Jesus mentioned. These are some of the ones that he covered that we've looked at over the last few weeks of our sermons on the Sermon on the Mount. However, the correct diagnosis, that's where it gets difficult. That's where it's harder. That's the difficult part. The scribes and the Pharisees, they were trying to play doctor as well. But they misdiagnosed the problem with humanity. They thought it was largely behavioral. Those bad habits, those sinful bad habits, just need to replace them with some new habits that are good. Just try to do better. Their prescription was this long list of do's and don'ts with the intent of making people better. But they were trying to do it on their own. You see, that's what religion attempts to teach people. Work really, really hard at being really, really good by keeping all the rules. And they say, you'll be okay. What? Wrong? I ought to have a big sign up here today. Wrong. Not by works, lest any man should boast. That's scripture. However, we'll see today, I hope we do, that Jesus has a totally different diagnosis. And his prescription is radically different in his treatment plan. It brings health to the individual. It's a cure, folks, not just treating the symptoms. In Jesus' diagnosis, he determines the problem actually lies in the heart. The cause of all this that's going on is from the inside. The behavior, that's just symptomatic of a greater problem that's going on in the hearts of mankind. Remember the symptoms we've already identified. The heart, you're never going to be well. You're never going to be right. You're never going to be whole. You're never going to be spiritually healthy. Just keep that Pharisee's treatment up, and you're never going to be the people that God intended for you to be. Now, while the diagnosis, or while the symptoms, are very similar, Jesus sees the same thing the Pharisee sees, but with a different pair of eyes. But the Pharisees, they chase the wrong differential. You can get on the wrong differential and you wind up with the wrong diagnosis. And that's what they did. Peggy, remember Berge's Manual of Determinative Bacteriology? This old big old thick book is about that thick. You had to track down all the bugs and try to find out what was wrong with the person. All this led to the wrong prescription. Here in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, Pharisees, you're wrong. These people have a heart disease. It's the heart that's causing these problems. Folks, that's what's happening in our society today. All these people talk about, oh, let's just take away their guns. Let's just, do this, put them in jail, all this kind of stuff. None of that's going to take care of the problem. The problem is a heart problem. And we need to address that. You're going to need a heart transplant. That's what Jesus is telling them. You need a new heart. We need a new heart. Amen? And the prescription, he's already given it to us early in chapter 5. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He said, follow me. Come to me, and I'll give you a new heart, an abundant life, and the kingdom of heaven. By my Spirit, my power, my presence, I'll take that old heart of stone and I'll change it. I'll make it into a heart of tenderness. Today, in the Sermon on the Mount, we come to the fourth illustration that Jesus is talking to us about mankind's heart disease. This morning, I want us to see what Dr. Jesus says, how he sees the symptoms, how he arrives at the diagnosis, and how he offers the only prescription and treatment to restore health to us. Look with me in Matthew chapter 5, down at verse 33 is where we're going to start today. Hope you got your Bibles and can turn with me. Verse 33 says, again you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But some of us try to change that, don't we? But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Let us pray. Father, again, I am nothing, absolutely nothing without you, God. But with you, God, everything is possible today in this place at this time. Lord, may the words of my mouth be acceptable to your sight, O Lord. God, you're my rock and you're my Redeemer. Come, Lord Jesus, and speak to us today. Amen. Now, Jesus in this scripture, again, just like before, is pitting himself not against the Old Testament, but against those Pharisees, their teaching. In the Old Testament, we have what? The Ten Commandments. And he's addressing today the ninth one. The ninth commandment forbids bearing false witness against your neighbor. There's two other texts in the Old Testament. I'm not going to read them this morning, but over in Numbers chapter 30, verse 2, and in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 21. Both of those verses, you can look them up this week, talk about keeping the vows that you swear before God. If you make a promise before God, you ought to keep it. You better keep it. Maybe that's the way of putting it. So the Old Testament is clear that if we are God's children, we're to speak the truth. We're to keep our word. I think we all can agree upon that. That's what God expects. Now, when Jesus engages in all this talk about swearing oaths to various things, he's taking those Pharisees to task. There's another time, further over in chapter 23, down at verse 16, Jesus does again. And he's talking to the Pharisees and he says, "Woe to you, blind guides." He's telling they're blind. "Who say, if anyone swears by the temple, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools. For which is greater, the gold or the temple that has made the gold sacred? And you say, if anyone swears by the altar, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift that's on the altar, he's bound to that oath." And he says, "You blind men, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? So whoever swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And whoever swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And whoever swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it." Now, if you're lost and confused at what you've just heard, welcome to the crowd. It's confusing, isn't it? What on earth is Jesus talking about here? Well, you have to go back to the first century. Because in the first century, Jewish people would routinely swear oaths. They would make promises using these oaths. Why? To try to verify their truthfulness. Yeah, there must have been liars back in that day too. Look at the kind of things that they swore by. Heaven, earth, Jerusalem, the temple. Even they swore by their own bodies. Swore by sacrifice, the temple gold. We could go on and on and on. But folks, isn't it the same kind of thing that we do today? Haven't you heard people say, "I swear on my mother's grave"? Or the one I used to hear as a kid, "I swear on a stack of Bibles," you know? I swear on all that's holy. Oh, I promise that's true. Was it three fingers, scout's honor? As God is my witness, what do you say in court? I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So what? So help me God. So why? Why does societies consistently have all these oaths they swear? Maybe it's because we down deep know that people tend to be less than truthful. It's not new, folks. There's been liars in the past, there's liars today, and there's going to be liars in the future. At least in the kingdom of the earth, in this world. People are out there who are trying to pull the wool over your eyes. To try to tell you a story so they can get their way, so they may look good. They also have hidden agendas. So what happened? People invented, people invented this thing of swearing oaths to give them better credibility when maybe the truth was not for certain. So when people doubt us, we say, "Oh no! I'm being truthful. I'll show you by the oath I'm going to swear." Even children, how many of your kids you did pinky swear? Huh? Nothing new about it. But what we've seen here is a scheme of which the Pharisees worked out in terms of oaths at various levels. Each one had a different weight depending on what you swore by. So the Pharisees were teaching the people that a broken vow was to be only taken as seriously as the object that you swear by. And the closer the object was to the holy presence of God, the more serious the vow was to be considered. So, if you were to swear by something that was sacred, holy temple, he that dwells in it, you're invoking the presence of God on that vow, and you better not break it. But if you swore like, about something mundane, I'm going to swear by my doorpost. Something that's less sacred, that may be true or may not be. You see the logic? It's kind of messed up. Some might say, that's silly. It is. You can see all of this nonsense in Jesus' rebuke in that chapter 21 of Matthew, or 23 of Matthew, not 21, 23. If anyone swears by the temple, it's nothing. It's no big deal. But you swear by the gold, that's another story. You swear by the altar? But if you swear by the gold of the altar, that's a big deal. Because that's sacred. That money is important. Jesus looked at him and said, "This is just full of untrustworthiness It's full of manipulation. It's full of exploitation. The only reason you need these vows is, in the first place, you're untrustworthy. You're an untrustworthy people. That's the real issue here. The fact that you have to use these vows tells you the story of what's wrong with you in your heart, in your relationships. When all this is just a way of manipulating each other. When you say, "I swear it's the truth," oh, you can believe me. You're already creating those loopholes. You're looking at the fine print. How you can deceive others. How you can defraud other people. People make promises never with the intention of never keeping them. They always want an escape clause, don't they? But in Jesus' diagnosis, he said this behavior, oath-taking, vow-swearing, what it comes down to is your yeses don't always mean yes. And your no's don't always mean no. My diagnosis is you have a heart problem. It's a heart that's diseased with all this disingenuous and coercive self-interest. You're trying to get people to believe you because you've been untrustworthy in the past. Your hearts lack integrity. And integrity in some respects means consistency. Yes be yes, no be no. And that's the main idea behind integrity. There's no double talk, no lying about what you're going to do or what you have done. David in Psalm 15 speaks of a righteous man who walks with integrity, speaks the truth in his heart, and swears to his own hurt and does not change. Even when it's hard, he keeps his word. If you have a heart of integrity, you won't need to swear oaths. And that's Jesus' point to them. Your yes simply means yes, your no simply means no. People will know they can trust you based on your integrity of your life. But the problem was, these folks had none. And we have none, really. We're depraved beings. Since the Garden of Eden. And we lack that integrity in our own self. Pharisee said, "Oh, it's okay. It's okay to exploit these technicalities." But Jesus said, I can see him pointing his finger. You need to be righteous. And folks, you need righteousness more than the righteousness of these scribes and Pharisees. You need a heart that's full of integrity. You need a heart that keeps its word. You need a heart that keeps its promises. Now, some of you may think, oh, that's their problem, that's not ours. Folks, you got to realize we're still chock full of the kind of selfishness, the kind of blindsidedness that they had in that day. We're still full of it. Sometimes it's just outright lying. What we say, we know. Before we say it, it's obviously wrong. But sometimes we delve into maybe low-lying fruit, right? Low-lying deceit. Those little white lies. My Bible says sin is sin. Don't you love how we label things to make it kind of fit our needs? It's just a little white lie. No big deal. I just stepped down. I have just a little bit of deficit of integrity. There's just a small crack in my armor. Oh, it's okay. What about people who do polite truths? You ever done that before? Somebody calls you up. Can you go to lunch with me? Oh, I'd love to go, but I'm too busy today. You're not busy. You just didn't want to go. Why aren't you telling the truth? Or our granddaughter, bless her heart, when she was a little girl, she had this issue of when people would give her a gift that she really didn't like, she thought her mother and father wanted her to tell the people, oh, I just love this gift, you know? And it worked on her. She had to go talk to her pastor about it. Because she was upset for having to tell a lie. Because she was told from being a little old bitty baby, you don't lie. But mama, I'm having to tell them people I like that dress. I hate it. That's polite untruths. What about those exaggerations? Oh, you always do that. You know, you're a good person. Or, you never do that. Oh, that was the absolute best. It's amazing. When we inflate our words, the problem is we devalue that compliment. It doesn't mean as much. And we lose credibility. When we do that, when we over-exaggerate things. What about spin? We hear a lot about that today. Our world is full of it. We try to take the facts and turn them into, or shade them maybe, to our advantage so we won't look bad. Politicians put spin on everything they do, don't they? They don't want to look bad because of their bad decisions. Another one is flattery. Telling people what you think they want to hear. When they ask you, what did you think of my performance? Oh, it was absolutely great. You're the best. And it wasn't. It was just okay at best. But you told them, oh, that was wonderful. You're the most wonderful dancer. You're the most wonderful football player. You're the most talented this and that. Liar. Jesus is warning us all that our words reveal something about our hearts. About what's going on inside. Luke said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You see, when our hearts are full of integrity, our yes is going to be yes and our no is going to be no. You don't have to dress it up. Just put it out there. And it's the truth. But when our hearts are full of disintegrity, I don't know if that's a word or not, but you get what I'm saying. It yes may mean no, it may mean yes, you just don't know. That's the problem. Jesus says anything less than pure integrity is wrong. Because your yes needs to be yes and your no needs to be no. And if you do anything else, he says those last words in verse 37, it's of the evil one. And people, if you don't know who that is, that's Satan, the devil. That's a strong word, isn't it? But Jesus meant it. The evil one is working in you and through you to produce that kind of heart and that kind of lying and disintegrity. Now, here's what the result of all that is. Number one, it destroys community. People can't trust you. The word gets out. And trust, folks, is the glue that's held people together, communities together. Marriages, every institution you can think of, trust is so important. The second thing, number two, is it disintegrates identity. Brother Fred, what do you mean by that? If there's something stable on the inside, people can see it. But if there's something unstable, they can see that as well too. And you either belong to one group or the other. One that people can trust, or one that people feel they can't trust. People filter out things, you know? You realize what I'm talking about here? Some people are like chameleons. They just change colors with whatever the situation might be. Now the third thing is, when we are not credible people, we actually desecrate others. When you say, I swear to you, and then go out and break that oath, that's being manipulative. That's being coercive. That's using people for your end. You're not treating that person like that person is made in the image of God, in the likeness of God. And another D word is that lying decimates credibility. I mean, if you know what that word, that's the big word for it. It destroys it. No one will believe you. And if you're not believed, that's a pretty bad place to be in, isn't it? I think about the story about the boy who cried wolf. Remember? He made it up. But then when there was the real wolf, nobody came to help him. And then there's the thing that upsets me the most. It leads to delusional thinking. You see, the more you lie, the more you tell lies, the more you twist the truth, the more you start living in an alternative existence. You get to the point where you believe the lie. You believe that's who you really are or what you've really done. And you can lose the ability to see reality for what it really is. This is the kind of place that the Pharisees were in when Jesus was talking to them. Can't you just hear Jesus? Are you kidding me, Pharisees? What's wrong with you? How delusional can you get? You see, God is everywhere. He sees everything. He even sees the inside of your heart. He knows what you even think. He's the creator. He's the sustainer of everything that is, was, or ever will be. Everything is God's. And He's everywhere. There's nowhere you can hide from intensified tide. No, there's nowhere you can hide from God. Over in Matthew 12, it says this, I tell you that men will give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. Wow. Now, is that just... Everyone, that's a bad word, isn't it? That means me too. Now, not just the purposeful words that were spoken. Not those rehearsed words, you know, that make us sound good. But those careless words. The stuff that we say off the cuff. The stuff we say when we're angry. The stuff we say when we're caught by surprise. The stuff that comes from your heart. Jesus says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Your righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees. Well, Dr. Jesus, what's your prescription? What's the treatment going to be? Now, Jesus wasn't proposing another law. He was proposing a new heart. Don't take an oath at all. It's not going to help you. What you need is a heart transplant. You need a new heart. And I know I keep coming back to this week after week, but it's a good example. The difference between a heart of an orphan and a heart of a child of God. And we have to ask ourselves, which am I? There's two ways to live in the universe. As an orphan with no father, no parents, or as a child, having a father and being a child of the Heavenly Father. The Pharisees, they just lived like orphans, didn't they? They didn't pursue that right relationship with God. But Jesus, He comes and gives us another way. He gives us the way. He says, by the power of my Spirit, I'm gonna make you a child. You'll no longer be an orphan. That's my prescription for you. You won't have to be on your own. You won't have to fend for yourself. But you're going to have a Heavenly Father watching over you, who cares for you, who protects you, who provides for you every moment, every day, 24/7. Which means you don't have to swear by anything. You can let your yes be yes and your no mean no. Because your Father will always be with you. You see, the power of the Spirit has become the kind of people whose yes is yes and no is no. Learn to keep your promises. Learn to have integrity. Why? Because we have that new heart. This is all about God making us into the people, the kind of people that we need to be, that God wants us to be, where we don't need any oaths to be believed. He's making us like Himself. The integrity of a childlike heart. It's at home in the kingdom of heaven. The bottom line takeaway here is that Jesus offers you a cure for your heart disease. And that cure is Jesus Himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. If any man come unto me, I'm going to come to you. And I'm going to heal that heart. I'm going to give you a new heart. This morning, we need a heart transplant. If we're caught up in the things of this world, if we're trying to follow the Pharisees, you need a heart transplant. And Jesus' prescription is, come, follow me. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. And I'll give you that new heart. We're going to have a time of invitation to come, if you want to this altar and pray. During this season of Lent, I've asked you to, in terms of the tradition of giving up something, I've asked you to give up your time. Give God some of your time to get on your knees and pray during these 40 days. Wednesday night, many have already committed to do that. And their commitment cards are here in this basket in front of us this morning. If you have a card, just write down an amount of time that you're willing to give of yourself every day for this time of Lent to pray. Whether it be 5 minutes or 5 hours. We'll have the opportunity after our Him to come and place your card, and we're going to pray for you. Also, those that were not here and would like to be anointed, you see, people get anointed when there's a spiritual battle to be fought. And giving time to God to pray and spend time with Him, Satan's going to be coming against you. So you need to be anointed from on high to fight the battle, because Satan doesn't want you to give 1 second of time to God. He wants you doing the things of this world instead of the things of heaven. So I'll be here. Those that want to be anointed will anoint you today. Let's come and have our hymn this morning. I'm wobbly today, so I'm going to need this.
Sing him.
Let's stand.
535, make me a servant. The altar is open. You can come be anointed. Just, Lord, we open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit this morning. Father, we again make these commitments to you today. Lord, with a heart of integrity, that we're going to keep our promises to you. Lord, may your Holy Spirit strengthen us throughout this time of preparation for that great Sunday to celebrate your resurrection. Go with us. Be with us. Put a new heart in us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. And all of God's people said, Amen.